الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله واصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اما بعد we have come to العائق السادس الغرور والعجب والكبر الغرور والعجب والكبر The sixth obstacle from the obstacles in the path of seeking knowledge, learning, and benefiting from the legislative knowledge that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sixth obstacle, self-deception, self-amazement, and arrogance. Al-ghurur, self-deception. Al-ujub, self-amazement. Wal-kibr, and arrogance. Arrogance and pride. This issue here, this aiq here, is something that is very important. And these affairs here, they are very dangerous for every believer, for every Muslim, even greater in the right of a student of knowledge, because these issues here can affect the student of knowledge and the people who are busy and engaged in knowledge, learning and teaching, in a greater manner many times than those who are not in the path of knowledge. And the people of knowledge, they mention about these three affairs here. هَذِهِ مِنْ أَفَاتْ الْقُلُوبِ مِنْ أَفَاتْ الْقُلُوبِ وَأَمْرَاضِ النُّفُوسِ That these affairs here, these are from the diseases of the hearts and the affairs that will corrupt and that will corrupt the soul. The diseases of the hearts and the sicknesses of the soul. And likewise, this issue here of al-ujub and al-kibr, al-ghurur, al-ujub, al-kibr, هذه من كبائر القلوب. كبائر الذنوب من كبائر القلوب. كبائر الذنوب من كبائر القلوب. That these are from the major sins, and they're the major sins of the heart. So just as there are major sins that occur on the tongue, and there are major sins that could occur with the hands. Likewise, there are major sins that occur with the heart. And these are the most dangerous. And these are the most troublesome. And these will work the most havoc and bring the most deficiency to a person's faith and his tawheed and his iman. It will weaken his deen and the weight of his shahada in a major manner. The diseases of the heart and the sins of the heart and the major actions of disobedience related to the heart specifically. Wallahu al-musta'an. The people of knowledge, they mention about al-ghurur. Al-ghurur. Al-ghurur with a dhamma on the ghain. Al-ghurur. They say, the people of knowledge, they say, huwa as-sukunu an-nafsi ila ma yuwafiqu al-hawa wa yumilu ilayhi al-tab' an shahwatin wa khid'atin min ash-shaytan. An shahwatin وَخِدْعَةٍ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ That al-ghurur, the self-deception, this is whenever the soul will be inclined to, whenever the soul, it will lean to follow that which is in accordance with the desires, and it will be inclined to follow its own natural disposition from following desires and deception from the devil. So in this manner, a person, he will start to look at himself and look at his deeds and consider himself good and consider his deeds righteous and consider his soul pious and consider his knowledge great and consider his status and his rank high. He will start looking to himself and he'll become self-amazed with his own actions. He'll become self-amazed with his own intellect, with his own efforts, with his own striving, with his own worship, with his own prayer, with his own knowledge. He'll be self-amazed with these affairs. So this can happen to a believer in general. He becomes self-amazed with his worship. He stands in the night prayer. If he's not careful, he can become self-amazed with himself and start looking at himself in this way. And then he will think that if he were to fall, for example, into some small sins, or if he were to follow his whims or desires, he'll look into himself. He say, I stand in the night prayer. Allah will forgive me. Or I do this or I do that. Specifically with the people of knowledge, many times this will occur to a student of knowledge who will think that he has reached a level in knowledge that's a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he will think that these little sins that he's falling into won't hurt him, and they will not weigh up in the face of the knowledge that he carries or the benefit that he's bringing to the people, so on and so forth. So he'll become deceived. He'll become deceived with himself, and this would lead him to fall short in fulfilling the obligations, or avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. It would lead him likewise to become self-amazed, and he'll be deceived with himself, and then he'll become amazed with himself. And then at this time, if it enters and sets root in his heart, it will be displayed in his manners and his conduct, and he'll begin to belittle the people and look down upon them and manipulate them and use them based upon what he has in his heart from this manner. And he will reach his heart now that he has pride and arrogance, and he'll be boastful towards others and harsh and rude towards others, and he'll look down on others like they're donkeys, or like they're nothing, like they're animals, like they're nobody, like they're worthless, they have no value, they're not at the high lofty rank that he is. This is what this affair leads to. It's very dangerous. And from the first to be deceived in this manner was Iblis, la'anahu Allah, ana khayrun minhu, khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min tin. He said, I'm better than him. وَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prohibited you from prostrating whenever I ordered you? Whenever Allah, he addressed Iblis. And he was amazed at himself. And then he started to look down on Adam alayhi salam based upon what he has or what he thought from himself. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. How can I prostrate before him? I'm better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Even his reasoning is wrong and not correct. It's not time to go into detail here. The point now is to realize how he was deceived. He was deceived in this manner by his own self. He had self-deception and self-amazement in this manner, and this led to pride and arrogance, which rejected the truth, and he refused to bow to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he did not prostrate. لَمْ يَسْجُدْ فَكَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. He did not prostrate, so therefore he is from the dwellers of the hellfire. So this is called self-deception. Self-deception, a person, he will be deceived with his self. He will start to think highly and good of himself, and this will trick him and deceive him to think that he's somebody that he's not, especially with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think that he has a high lofty status with Allah Azza wa Jal, but this thought here has dropped him to the lowest of the low. This thought here, this idea here, in reality has dropped him to the lowest of the low. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, الْكِبْر. الْكِبْر, the people of knowledge, they mention الْكِبْر خُلُقٌ بَاطِنٌ تَصْدُرُ عَنْهُ أَعْمَالٌ هِيَ ثَمَرَتُهُ. That الْكِبْر, this is an inward trait and characteristic, and proceeding from that are actions from statements and deeds that are the fruit of that which is in the heart. And by refusing to accept the truth and belying the truth or denying the truth whenever it's clear, and by belittling people and looking down on them and boasting or bragging over them and the likes like this, being rude to them and against them and towards them, and considering them to be little or insignificant. This is something that starts in the heart, and then whenever it's applied, and it's apparent, it's made apparent in his actions, in his manner, in his walk, in his talk, in his speech, and his conduct, and the likes like this. So he will start to see his self having attributes that others do not have. And even if they have them, he will see himself having those same attributes, but in a better and more complete manner. So this is the issue here, and this is something that occurs with knowledge. Many times, if a person, he's not careful, these affairs here can occur because of knowledge, especially, for example, in a time or in a society or in a place, whenever ignorance is widespread and deviation is widespread and heedlessness is widespread, and the people who are engaged in learning and applying the knowledge or carrying the knowledge, they're few and they're rare. So now when he starts to learn and he starts to see that everyone around him is in innovation or in misguidance or in heedlessness, or his prayer is not correct, or he has the wrong understanding, or he doesn't know how to make wudu properly, for example, and he'll start looking down on them and belittling them, and he will see them like they're nothing in this manner if he's not careful. But little did he know that it's the favor of Allah, that Allah has selected him and chosen him and blessed him with this knowledge. favored him over them with this knowledge. So it should, in reality, if it was beneficial, enter his heart and make him humble and make him thankful that he would see all of these people misled and misguided, or upon deviation, or upon heedlessness and forgetfulness in their religion and with regards to the affairs of the hereafter. And Allah favored him to remind him and to teach him and to raise him. So therefore, he would humble himself before Allah and strive to be a benefit for the people and humble himself for the people in the same manner, and not belittle them and look down on them. If anything, he'll have pity on them. He'll have pity on them and want to help them and want to direct them and want to help them and want to direct them. It's been narrated from Ka'b al-Ahbar, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the Tabi'in. He said, "Inna lil-ilmi tughyanan kama anna lil-mali tughyana. Inna lil-ilmi tughyanan kama anna lil-mali tughyana." That knowledge, with knowledge, there's an aspect of tughyan. Tughyan is transgressing the limits, going beyond the boundaries. A person like Fir'aun. What did Allah say about Fir'aun? Innahu tagha. Tagha, and he was a tyrant. He's transgressing the limits. He's overpowering the people and using them and taking their rights and the like, and has authority over them. This is the case. Knowledge, there's an aspect of knowledge that does this as well, just as wealth does. So just as wealth does. Maybe somebody, he's impoverished, and the next thing you know, he becomes rich. Whenever he was in poverty, he was silent, he was quiet, he was humble, he didn't say anything, and then suddenly he came up on some money. And next thing you know, he buys a nice car and a nice suit and some nice clothing, and he starts walking around like he's the world. He starts walking around belittling people that he was eating off the ground with before. Now he belittles them, and even those higher than that, he'll look down upon them. What happened? This money came into his life, and it was a reason for him to transgress the limits and to think high of himself and to begin to belittle others and transgress their rights, to belittle others and violate their rights. So sometimes wealth will do this, although it doesn't do that to everyone. Some people, maybe they'll get more wealth and they'll be blessed with wealth, and they'll be guided to see the favor of Allah likewise. It's a blessing from Allah, and they'll be humble and they'll use the wealth and the pleasure of Allah and the avenues of goodness, and they'll help and they'll spend on themselves and their family and that which is lawful, and they'll help in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it will be a blessing for them and it will not cause them to transgress. So not everyone who gets wealth transgresses the limits, but no doubt wealth is a reason for a tughyan, for tughyan ad-nas, or a baghi ad-nas, that a person, he'll start transgressing the limits and violating the rights of the people and being harsh and rude, like a tyrant towards them. Likewise, he's saying here, barakallahu fikum, there's an aspect of knowledge. If one is not careful, this can happen to him as well. Not with money, but with knowledge. Not with money, but with knowledge. He can start to look down on others and to belittle others and see them insignificant, like nothing, and use them like slaves. And use them like slaves. And use his position with knowledge and his claim for knowledge in this manner to step on the people. To step on the people, literally, this is a foul in a lowly way. This is a foul in a lowly way. So the Salaf, they used to mention, and they would say about the issue of knowledge, al-ilmu thalathatu ashbar, thalathatu ashbar, that knowledge is three ranks or three levels, three parts. Man dakhala ash-shibr al-awwal takabbara. The person who enters into the first portion of knowledge, he'll become arrogant. He'll become arrogant. Knowledge is three levels, three stages. Thalathatu ashbar. Man dakhala ash-shibr al-awwal takabbara. The person who enters into the very first portion of knowledge, he becomes arrogant and proud. And we have seen why. Because now, before he was ignorant, and now his eyes are open and he has knowledge. And he see, and this knowledge, literally, it will raise a person and allow him to see clearly. But he will start to look down on others with that knowledge, and he will see how others do not have the knowledge that he has. And then he will start being amazed with himself in this manner. So he'll belittle them. This is the first stage. وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشِّبْرَ الثَّانِي تَوَاضَعَ. And the one who entered into the next level of knowledge, and he continued to seek knowledge, and he was granted success, then the knowledge will enter into his heart, will affect him, and it will humble him. It will humble him. So the one who continues and goes to the next level, tawadu'a, yani he will start to be humble. He will have tawadu'a. وَمَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الشِّبْرَ الثَّالِثِ. And whoever enters into the last portion of it, عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَعْلَمُ شَيْئًا. At this time, he will realize that he does not know anything. At this time, he will realize that he does not know anything. So this is the case with the knowledge. Many times this is how it will occur. A person who begins seeking knowledge, and then he will get a little bit of knowledge, and he will think that he's better than others. And he will start to belittle others. Even sometimes maybe before he was seeking knowledge, he had a good relationship with his mother and father, or with his brothers and sisters, or with his uncles and aunts, or with his neighbors, or with his friends, and the likes like this. And then whenever he started seeking knowledge, he started seeing that they are on a bad way in their creed, or they have misunderstandings in their deen, or they're not performing their prayer properly, or they're involved in major sin, or they are very heedless and negligent with regards to the sunnah and the laws of legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgetting that just a day or two ago, or a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, they were just like them or worse. They were just like them or worse, and they'll start to belittle them and to look down on them and to be harsh with them and to be rude with them, even if it's their own family, whatever be that. And this is because of this obstacle here. They have been deceived. They have been deceived. They have been deceived by the devil. It's the devil who leads a person to be ana khayrun min. Ana khayrun minhu. I'm better than him. You understand the relationship here of this issue and the devil. I'm better than him. That's what the student, he starts to think likewise. I'm better than him. And even, barakallahu fikum, no doubt the one who knows is better than the one who doesn't know. The one who knows is better than the one who doesn't know. And the more knowledge one has, the higher his rank will be, and the more lofty he will be, and the better he will be than those under him. Than those under him. But this will humble him and not cause him to be arrogant whenever the knowledge is beneficial. So he'll not belittle the people or look down on them. Rather, he'll be humble and thankful. Thankful that he was not tried and that he was favored with this blessing. That he was favored with this blessing. So the true knowledge will make one humble and not make one arrogant. It will make one humble and not make one arrogant. Although no doubt a person of knowledge, a person of the sunnah, a person of deen, a person of taqwa, a person of iman, a person of Islam, he's better than those who are deficient in that. He's better than those who are deficient in that, but he will not laugh at them or belittle them. Rather, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, barakallahu fikum, he has taught us that whenever we see people tried with sins and tried with deviation and misguidance, that we should never belittle them and laugh at them. We should never belittle them and laugh at them. Many times a person, he will see somebody try with him and belittle them and laugh at them and mock them and them. And in turn, as a recompense, they will be trying with that or their family. They'll be trying with that or their family, what the other billah, as a punishment and recompense for belittling the likes of these affairs. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, Alhamdulillah aladhi athana mimma abtilahu bih. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلٍ. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has saved me from what he tried him with. From what he tried him with. And he will not say it out loud. Likewise, where he hears him belittling him, he'll say it to himself. But he will say that. If he's driving down the CDC, driving down the street, you see these people misguided in a deviation, or somebody tried with sin and the likes like this, or hears about people falling off of the straight path, or tried with sin, or tried with deviation, or tried with desires, or going to the masajid of the people of whims and desires and the likes like this, and leaving the masajid of the sunnah, he will not mock them and laugh at them. He'll say, Alhamdulillah. الَّذِي أَعْثَانِي مِمَّا امْتَلَهُ بِهِ. Like this, praising Allah Azza wa Jal, realizing that it's a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one was not trying with that. If he sees somebody affected with a calamity or a great hardship or difficulty in his wealth or in his self, in his reputation, in his property, in his family, in his children, in his home, in his occupation, he will not belittle them and mock that. He will not have shamata, a shamata, and he laughing at the downfall of others. Rather, he will realize the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal upon him by saving him and not trying him with the likes of that. And he would fear Allah Azza wa Jal that he will be tried with the likes of that. And those who do not show thanks for the blessings, they're the ones who they're tried. And the blessings can be stripped just as they are provided. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he gives and he takes as he wills according to his wisdom and justice and according to his supreme knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue of kibra. As for al-ujba, the people of knowledge, they say al-ujba la yastad'i ghayr al-mu'jaba. Yani hatta law kana wahdahu fa innahu yu'jibu bi nafsihi. Yani the kibr, at-takabbur, there has to be somebody that he can make a takabbur against. The one who's arrogant and he's proud and he's boasting, there has to be somebody else that he's looking down upon, and he's boasting against, and he's bragging against, or towards, and the likes like this. As for al-ujba, even if a person is alone by himself, this disease can affect him, and he'll look into the mirror, he'll look into himself, he'll look into his car, he'll look into his wealth, he'll look into his knowledge, he'll look into his memorization, he'll look into this, all about himself, and just be amazed. And just be amazed at himself. So even if there's no one else around, even if there's no one else around, it can still affect his heart, looking at to himself and being amazed with himself and his good traits and qualities that he has. So these issues, they come one, and they come together in this manner. And many times the one will not be there except the other one occurs. or one of them is the reason that leads to another. And it cannot be imagined a person, he would be self-amazed, like he would not have ghurur or ujub, except he will become arrogant and boastful. And along with that, other diseases will affect him likewise. These diseases here call and bring about other diseases of the heart, like wanting to be seen and wanting to be heard and wanting to have position and wanting to have rank and wanting to be in the front. And likewise, this would lead a person as well to have envy and jealousy for those who have the position that he wants or the status that he wants. And then if it sinks even deeper, he'll start to work and violate their rights to drop them from that position or to defame them so that they will not have that right anymore. All of this is coming from al-ghurur, from al-ujub, from al-kibr. And these foul traits, they're proceeding from the likes of this affair. They're proceeding from the likes of this affair. It's been mentioned by Hafidh al-Hakim about al-ujub. He says, al-ujub fahdharhu inna al-ujub mujtarifun a'mala sahibihi fi sayrihi al-arimi. That self-amazement, you have to watch out, be careful from it, because it wipes out the deeds the way that the torrential flood wipes out everything in its way. So the person who becomes self-amazed, he becomes self-amazed with his own deeds, this is going to have a detrimental effect on his religion, on his deen. Number one, it's going to wipe out his deeds. If he prayed the night prayer and then he became self-amazed with the night prayer, yeah, I pray the night prayer, I do this, and I fast every Monday, I fast every, like, and he became self-amazed, and he's looking at his own deeds like this, and he forgot that that's the favor of Allah upon him. These deeds will be invalidated, and they would have no value. These deeds will be invalidated, they would have no value. This is a major affair. Some of the Salaf, they used to say that the fact that I felt that I slept all night long and I woke up regretting is more beloved to me, that I will stand in the prayer all night long and I will come to the morning amazed with myself and amazed with my deeds. So to sleep all night long on the night prayer and not pray not one rak'ah for the night prayer, and then to wake up regretting, oh man, I missed the night prayer, is more beloved to one of the Salaf, more beloved to one of them than standing in the night prayer all night long. And then whenever it comes to the morning time, it's like, yeah, I stood in the night prayer all night long. I stood in the night prayer all night long. He probably didn't stay. You didn't stay in the night prayer. I do it every night. Like, you know, he starts becoming self-amazed. This is going to wipe out those deeds. This is going to wipe out those deeds. It's going to wipe out those deeds. And it's going to earn him the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's going to earn him the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, it's going to cause him to fall short in performing more good deeds. He's going to start relying on the deeds that he has because he looks at them like there's something great and major. Because he looks at them like there's something great and major, and then this would be a means for him to perpetrate and commit sins, relying on his good deeds. Relying on his good deeds. Oh, I do this and I do that, so this sin's not going to hurt me. I have a high status with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the likes like this, and now this self-deception will come and have a great effect on him. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So this is something that is very dangerous, and it's very specific to the people of knowledge, more so than others, because as has preceded this knowledge, it has an aspect of a tughyan. If a person is not cautious with it, it could cause him to transgress the limits. It could cause him easily to think that he's better than others. It can cause him easily to start to look down and to belittle others. It could cause him easily to become amazed with himself, to become amazed with himself. And this is all from the tricks and from the traps of the devil and from the footsteps of the devil. Allah, he says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. There's footsteps that lead to this. There's footsteps that lead to this, until a person, he will find himself with great pride and arrogance in his heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The people of knowledge, they mention about the ujub. They say, فَيَتَوَلَدُ مِنْ الْعُجْبِ الْكِبْرُ وَمِنْ الْكِبْرِ الْأَفَاتُ الْكَثِيرَةِ أَلَتِي لَا تَخْفَى وَهَذَا مَا أَلَتِي لَا تَخْفَى. So he says that. So the people of knowledge, they mention, rahimahumullah, that the self-amazement brings about the arrogance and pride. And the arrogance and pride from here produces many great diseases of the heart. Many great diseases of the heart. The people who are affected by these affairs, they're different categories. The people of knowledge who are affected by these affairs are different categories. Any meaning the students, the scholars, those who have been affected by al-ghurur, those who have been affected by al-ujub, those who have been affected by al-kibr, by self-deception, self-amazement, and arrogance, they're different categories, they're different levels. Some of them, maybe they have learned one aspect of this how they're affected is the one who has learned some knowledge precisely. He has learned it well, but he did not show concern with tazkiyat an-nafs, and he had great diligence in learning and memorizing and understanding and the likes, and reflecting, learning masail, learning issues, memorizing Quran, memorizing hadith. He had great concern for the outward aspect of knowledge. But with regards to the inward aspect in his heart, he did not focus on purifying his soul. He did not focus on purifying his soul. So therefore, he will rely on his self. He will rely on his self, and then his heart will become corrupted. His heart will easily become affected by this ujub. It will become affected by this self-amazement. It will become affected by jealousy. It will become affected by these other sins that come about from this. So a person has to seek knowledge and learn this affair likewise. But along with that, he has to as well strive to purify his soul by applying that knowledge. Purify his soul by applying that knowledge and show great concern to the issue of tazkiyat an-nafs, waslah al-qalb. He has to have concern about this. Looking into his self, looking into his soul, so he will not just learn the knowledge outwardly and then suffice with that. Rather, he has to learn the knowledge outwardly and apply it in his life and strive to keep his soul pure. But if he's not careful, then these diseases, they will take hold. They will take hold. So maybe he will strive to learn the knowledge, apply the knowledge, and then he will even strive to purify his soul, for example, from the self-amazement and the likes. But if he's not careful, then these issues can creep in. The people of knowledge, they say, the akhiru ma yunza'u min aw akhiru ma yunza'u min qulub as-salihin hubbu shuhra. The last thing that comes out of the hearts of the righteous is the love for fame. Is a love for fame. And meaning that maybe a person, he will try to be sincere. Maybe a person, he will work hard. Maybe a person, he will fight his soul. But even those who do that, from the last things that he will purify from his heart, from the last things that will finally go away, is the love of authority and the love of fame. It's the love of authority and the love of fame. So somebody may strive against himself and strive against his soul, but if he's not aware of these issues and how they occur, then these last issues that are difficult to remove, they may take hold of him where he did not perceive. They may take hold of him where they did not perceive. So if a person, even when he's striving, if he starts to see from himself that he leans towards the praise of the people and that this affects his heart and he likes that, he likes to be praised, or he likes when they put him up and the likes like this, and this is something that no doubt eventually somebody engaged in knowledge is going to happen. He's going to be placed in front of the people. He's going to teach. He's going to help. He's going to remind. He's going to direct and the likes like this. But the thing is not to look for that. Not to look for that. And then likewise, if they say something bad about him, he gets sad. And they say something good about him, he gets happy. Like he's moved by what their opinion about him. And this person here, he's in danger because he doesn't truly know himself. If he truly knew himself and he was sincere with Allah Azza wa Jalla, they wouldn't bother him what they say about him. If they praise him and say, I know myself better than them. And may Allah cover my faults and make me better than what they think. And if they say something bad about him and it's true, he will say, Jazakumullah khair, inshallah, I need to rectify that. And if he's sincere, if somebody tells him that you have a deficiency or a shortcoming, then he will accept that criticism and try to rectify that. He will not defend himself and the likes. But if it's not there, if they blame him for something and he did his best and there's nothing he can do about it and the likes like this, it will not bother him. It will not hurt his feelings. It will not hurt his feelings because he's not working for this affair and he's not looking for that. He's not working for this affair and he's not looking for that. So the people of knowledge, again, some of them, they say, حُبُّ الرِّيَاسَةِ أَخِرُ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ الصَّالِحِينَ. That the last, that the love of leadership and authority is the last thing, the last foul affair that will come out of the hearts of the righteous. Meaning that this is something that is in the soul. This is something that is in the soul, and it will not come out except by being truthful with Allah and striving hard to remove it. Except by being truthful with Allah, by being truthful with Allah and striving hard to remove it. We've seen previously that the way to have status and rank in this life is to have knowledge. Knowledge is the way to status and rank. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. This is the way to have status and rank with knowledge. But a person, he wants the status and rank with Allah, not from the people. And it's in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of the people. So a person, he has to go back to the first principle, and that is that knowledge is ibadah, be sincere. And he will want to have a high ranking status with Allah, to have the pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of the people. To have the pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of the people. To have rank and status with Allah, not with the people. To have provision and help and aid and support from Allah, not from the people. So his heart is attached to Allah, not to the people. His heart is attached to Allah, not towards the people. He's looking for the hereafter. He doesn't care about this life. If the life comes to him, if this life comes to him, alhamdulillah, he'll use it in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the good way. But whenever a person, he starts to look down to the earth, down to the people, wanting the people to praise him, now he's leaving that connection with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now he's hoping to be raised in the eyes of the people or by way of the people. So he'll start to compromise his religion. He'll start to compromise his religion and misuse his knowledge in order to get what he wants. But and this barakallahu fikum is a deficiency in tawheed. This is a deficiency in tawheed. He has a deficiency in tawheed. Had he purified his tawheed, then his trust and his reliance and his desire and his hope and his aim will be Allah alone. So whenever the tawheed became deficient, now he started to look towards the people. And forgetting that Allah, he is the Lord of the people, and that Allah, he is the provider of the people, and that the people cannot do anything except with the command of Allah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. He forgot all of these affairs here. The issue that the command is in the hands of Allah, and the people cannot do anything. They cannot help him nor harm him. They cannot help him or harm him without the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now he's forgot about these affairs. Deficiency in his tawheed. And now he starts to look to the people and hope from the people and try to get from the people, and forgetting the Lord of the people. And forgetting the Lord of the people. This is a major mistake. It's been narrated from Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu anhu that he said, Ya baqay al Arab, in akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum ar-riya wa shuhra wa shahwa wa shahwa al-khafiyya. He said to his students, he said, oh, the remainder of the Arab, yani the students of knowledge. He said, indeed, the thing that I fear most for you is showing off, and ash-shahwa al-khafiyya, the hidden lust. I fear for you the hidden lust, the shahwa al-khafiyya. Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, sahib al-Sunan, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 275. He says, he was asked, ma shahwa al-khafiyya? What is the hidden lust? He said, hubu riyasa, loving leadership, the love for leadership. This is the hidden desire, meaning that maybe a person, he could try to purify his soul from all of these different affairs, but this one is still going to remain there. And if he's not careful, it will grow. He has to strive to check these lowly desires and these lowly whims and these trials of the heart. We're talking about the student of knowledge specifically. Because of what occurs from this. Has been narrated from Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 187. He said, ma min ahadin ahabba riyasata illa hasada wa baga wa tatabba'a ayyuban nas wa kariha an yuthkara ahadun bi khayr wa kariha an yuthkara ahadun bi khayr. He said that no one has ever loved leadership except he will start to be jealous. And he will transgress limits, and he will follow up looking for the faults of others, and he will dislike for anyone to be mentioned with good. So this is what happens. The self-amazement comes, and he starts to think good about himself, and he starts to be amazed with himself, and he'll start to look down upon others, and he'll start to be arrogant and boastful, and he will want to be on top, and he won't want not want anyone else to be on bottom. And then if it sinks hold, he will start to work. He will start to have envy. He'll start to have jealousy. People will be doing good and spreading their religion or learning their religion or memorizing the book or teaching the book, and he'll become angry. He'll become jealous. He'll become hot. It will bother him. It will bother him because he wants to have that. He wants to have that praise. He wants to have that rank. He wants to have that status. So then he will continue so far. He will start to defame them or talk bad about them or to turn the people away from them or to belittle them and the likes like this. All of this is from this affair here. This is a lowly, lowly, lowly way. So the one who is going, that these diseases here, they enter into his heart. Now he's going to have this love to be seen. This love for authority. If he's self-amazed with himself, he loves to be praised. if he's amazed with himself and he's looking good for himself, he loves when the people praise him and agree with him in what he thinks about himself. And the likes like this. And then if it goes too far, he'll become arrogant, looking down on others and putting people down, in the likes like this. It's been narrated by Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Salaf, they spoke about this issue in a major manner. I read that they were afraid of this affair. Afraid of this affair for their own souls. And they mentioned amazing issues that have occurred, what they have learned about this issue. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, died in 161. 161, he says, Ra'aynahum yazhaduna fi al-ta'ami wa-sharabi wa-libas. He said, we've seen them turning away from the worldly life. Turning away, any of the people of knowledge, turning away from the worldly life and preparing for the hereafter, turning away from the worldly life and their food and their drink and their clothing, and sufficing with little and not being extravagant or luxurious in these affairs. فَإِذَا نُوزِيَ أَحَدُهُمْ فِي الرِّيَاسَةِ فَإِذَا نُوزِيَ أَحَدُهُمْ الرِّيَاسَةَ نَطَحَ نِطَحَ الْكِبَاشِ. He said, but if one of them was challenged in leadership, he'll start bucking heads right like rams. But if one of them was challenged in leadership, he'll start bucking heads like rams. And meaning that he'll be humble, he'll be pious, he'll be a person of worship, he'll be a person of prayer. He'll talk about knowledge, he'll talk about the hereafter. But whenever the authority is challenged, and whenever the seat is challenged, whenever the position or leadership he feels challenged in that, نَلْطَحَ نِلْطَحَ الْكِبَاشِ, he'll start bucking heads like rams. You know how rams buck heads? You know how the rams buck heads? They get serious. Some people, this is the example. People like this, he's not going to let that go. Even Sufyan, he said, rahimahullah, man ahabba shuhrata falyu'd ra'sahu lin-nitah. Falyu'd ra'sahu lin-nitah. Anybody who has a love for fame, anybody who has a love for fame, let him get his head ready for bucking. Let him get his head ready for bucking. Anyone who has a love for authority, a love for leadership, many times the only way you're going to get that is by bucking heads. You're going to have to go head on with the people who love it like you do. You're going to have to go head on with the people who love it like you do. So you're going to find out who has the hardest head. You're going to find out who has the hardest head. It becomes a major problem for the likes of these people. And this is a great fitna and a great trial. A great fitna. And a great trial. Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 198. Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He says, الشهوة الخفية الذي يحب الذي يحب أن يحمد على البر الذي يحب أن يحمد على البر. All of this is dangerous. All of this is dangerous. He's saying here another interpretation of the hidden lust. The hidden lust that could destroy a person is that he would love to be praised. He likes to be praised for doing righteous deeds. He likes to be praised for doing righteous deeds. And عَلَى يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُحْمَدَ عَلَى الْبِرِّ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُحْمَدَ عَلَى الْبِرِّ. And he loves to be praised for righteous deeds. He loves to be praised for righteous deeds. Meaning that this is what he's looking for. This is what he's looking for. So the one who loves this in his heart and he looks for that, what will he do? How would he get that? What will he do? Huh? He will show off. He'll start showing off. He will start wanting to be heard. He'll start talking about himself. He'll start telling his good deeds. He will start like this. So now his intention is turning towards the people again. So this is a great issue. And whenever this thing here enters into his heart. So the fact that somebody praised another person for the good that they know about them. And if a person is praised, for example, and the good qualities and traits are mentioned about someone, and he finds out about that, that will not harm him had he been sincere. A person, he will not look for that. A person in his heart, that's not what he's desiring. That's not what he's wanting. He's hoping for Allah, the reward of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. And then if on top of that, somebody finds out about some good that he does and praises him, this will not harm him. This will not harm him. Do you understand that? But if that love is in his heart, even if the people do not praise him, it will destroy him. If that is in his heart and he's looking for that from the people, even if they do not praise him, even if he does not get what he wants from them, he'll be finished. It will destroy him. It will corrupt him. It will corrupt him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about a man being praised for some righteous good deeds that he did in the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Hada ajilu bushra mu'min." This is the hastened glad tidings of a believer. This is a hastened glad tidings of a believer. And no doubt a person, yani, likes to be mentioned with good. This is something that's normal, but this is with the affairs of the deen. He's not looking for that. He's not praying so that people will praise him. He's not learning how to pray, learning to make wudu, hoping that the people will like him and hold him high in their hearts, or memorizing the Quran, or the Quran, or reciting the Quran, or memorizing the hadith, or the likes like this, in order for the people to praise him. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for that. This is far off from his mind. These affairs here are far, 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 far from his mind. The last thing that he wants is the people to praise him or the people to raise him. But then it just happens, alhamdulillah, from the favor and the blessing of Allah, this will not harm him. This will not harm him. So this is something to watch out for, that a person, he has to purify his intention and want the pleasure of Allah with knowledge, and want the pleasure of Allah with carrying knowledge, and with teaching and applying knowledge, with teaching and applying knowledge. So this is a trial. So from the tricks of the devil with regards to this, they're numerous, and the devil, he's treacherous in this affair. Some of them, they'll be deceived in this manner, and they'll tell themselves from the ghurur that will affect them, the self-deception. He will say, oh, I'm going to do these righteous good deeds so that people can see me and follow me. I'm going to make wudu in this manner, or make dhikr in this manner, I'm going to pray in this manner in front of the people. I'm going to say something about this good in front of the people in order for them to learn and to benefit and to follow me in the khayr that I'm upon. Is this a good intention? Yes, it's a good intention. We have seen examples of that, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Many times they'll mention this about themselves, and he praising themselves and the knowledge that they have and the likes like this, so that the people will take it, or the people will learn it, and the people will benefit. Not bragging, but clarifying the blessing and favor of Allah, and also informing them that it's important you benefit and pay attention. Like this, or somebody, maybe he will sometimes do an action out loud or where the people can see him so that they follow him in that, like the man he gave all that charity, and then all the people followed him in that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil islam sunnatan hasana kana lahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha min ba'dihi min ghayri an yanqusa min ujurihim shay'an." Whoever is the first one to do a righteous good deed and people follow him in that, then he will have the reward of that and the reward of those who follow him. So we're encouraged to be the first to do good deeds and to be a role model in doing good deeds. Understand? So from the tricks of the devil for a person of knowledge is that he will start to talk about these affairs, and this will come into his mind, and he will do these affairs outwardly, claiming that he wants the people to benefit from him. But whenever they benefit in the same way from others, he does not rejoice and he's not happy. You understand? So now he's been deceived. So now he's not truly being sincere, because if he's outwardly displaying this action, hoping that people follow him, then the goal and the aim is that the people follow the sunnah, not the person. The people follow the knowledge, not the person. That's why he's doing, I'm gonna do it outwardly so they can see me, and then maybe they'll follow me and benefit. They're gonna follow the sunnah that I'm on, the knowledge that I'm on, alhamdulillah, and the benefit. This in general is a good intention. But the point is how the devil plays with the hearts. So now the one who does this, and then whenever others benefit from someone else, he's not happy. He doesn't rejoice. Now, whenever they follow somebody else or benefit from somebody else, now he doesn't rejoice over that. Now there's a deficiency here. Because it's not, if one is sincere, it does not matter who the people learn from, so long as they learn from the people who are qualified, from the people of the sunnah. So long as they learn the religion properly and they apply it. It doesn't matter if you learn it from this one or from that one. It's all the same, alhamdulillah. The point is to spread the deen, and that the people will be guided, and they'll follow the sunnah, and the tawheed will be established. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and their life, and their heart, and their home, and their family, and their car, and their masjid, and their market. This is the whole aim and the goal, to spread the deen. So if somebody else is aiding in that process, and then the people benefit from him, this will be a person, he'll be happy. If he finds out about somebody in a distant land, or even a neighboring masjid or another city, but he's up on khair, teaching the people the goodness, he'll be happy, because he's not able to be here and to be there and to be there and to be there. So this brother is cooperating with him, and he is on the front lines over there, taking care of the business over there and spreading the sunnah there, blocking the trap and defending the religion, alhamdulillah. So he's cooperating together. They're like on the front line together. But now if he sees him and he is upset, why is he teaching that book? Does he have an ijazah? Who is his teacher? Like this, and this enters to his heart, and it's not known anything except good about that person. We're talking about the people of the sunnah. We're not talking about people of desires and doubts and whims. So this is a sign that he has a bad intention and he's not sincere. This is a sign that he has the love for leadership and the love for authority. The love for leadership and the love for authority. Ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this. He says, "Al-ilmu in lam yanfa'ka dharraka." Al-ilm in lam yanfa'ka dharraka. That knowledge, if it does not benefit you, it will harm you. Knowledge, if it does not benefit you, it will harm you. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, he has a book called Al-Iqtida'. Iqtida' al-ilm al-amal. The fact that knowledge requires or necessitates application. He commented here, rahimahullah, Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. He says, يعني إن لم ينفعه بأن يعمل به ضره بكونه حجة عليه. Meaning that if it did not benefit him by applying it, then it will harm him by being a proof against him. It will harm him by being a proof against him. By being a proof against him. So again, a person, he has to strive to purify his intention for the sake of Allah. And loving to be seen and to be heard and to be praised or to have authority or to have rank or to have position by way of the knowledge. And seeking knowledge or carrying knowledge with this intention corrupts it. Corrupts the knowledge and brings corruption to that person and those who it comes in contact with. This person is tried with knowledge. This is from the worst of the diseases. And this is going back to the first one. He has a deficiency in his sincerity. He's insincere. He's insincere, even in his application likewise, because he's not applying it for the sake of Allah. Rather, he's applying it to get his desires and whims, to have authority and position. To have authority and position. This is something that is of utmost importance to realize and to know and to strive to purify the soul from. To strive to purify the soul from. Listen to how treacherous the devil may be, and listen to the details the people of knowledge have discussed about this. There's a work called Talbis Iblis. Talbis Iblis. By who? The Deception of the Devil. Who wrote this work? Ibn al-Jawzi. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in 597. So in this particular work, he mentioned the different types of people. He mentioned the scholars, the students of knowledge, the scholars of hadith, the scholars of jurisprudence. He mentioned the students of tajweed. He mentioned the layman. He mentioned the different categories of people and the different categories of believers and the tricks and the traps that the devil uses with regards to them specifically. With regards to them specifically. So he'll talk about the scholars of hadith. And he'll mention traps and tricks that he had played. The devil has played with the students of hadith specifically. And then he'll mention about the fuqaha. Then he'll mention about in tajweed and the likes like this. How the devil will play games with their minds and trick them and deceive them. Trick them and deceive them to mislead them or to lighten their reward or to confuse them or to lead them away and the likes like this. So here he's discussing this issue with regards to al-ulama al-kamilun. This shows how much knowledge how well they have studied these affairs and how well they have learned about their soul and likewise what they have learned about the devil. So he says, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ يَتَخَلَّصُ الْعُلَمَاءُ الْكَامِلُونَ مِنْ تَلْبِسَاتِ إِبْلِيسِ الظَّاهِرَةِ. He said, impossibly the complete scholars, and the scholars that have reached a high level in knowledge and application and striving, possibly these complete scholars, they could free themselves from all of these different deceptions, all these different outward deceptions and tricks of the devil. فَيَأْتِيهِمْ بِخَفِيٍ مِنْ تَلْبِيسِهِ بِأَنْ يَقُولُ. So then the devil will now, he will come with the most subtle and hidden distraction or hidden trick and deception. And he will say, مَا لَقِيتُ مِثْلَكَ مَا أَعْرَفَكَ بِمَدَاخِلِي وَمَخَارِجِي. See, I never met anyone like you. I never met anyone like you. No one has as much knowledge about my mode of deception and trickery than you. And he's meaning, like, I forget it. You win. Like, this is what it means. The devil, he's saying, I never met anyone like you. I cannot fool you or trick you. So Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about some of these, this deception of the devil for those scholars who have reached a high level in knowledge and the high level of application, who have been striving against their souls diligently to remove these diseases and impurities from their heart and from their soul, fighting the devil in a major manner. fighting the devil in a major manner, fighting the jihad in nafs, or jihad al shaitan, in a major manner. Until the extent that the devil, he's saying, will come to the likes of this individual, he'll say, مَا لَقِيتُ مِثْلَكَ مَا عَرَفَكَ بِمَدَاخِلِهِ مَخَارِجِ. He said, I never met anyone like you. I've never met anyone like you. No one has as much knowledge as you, as the way that I come and the way that I go. And no one knows my deceptions and my trickery better than you. Better than you. And Shaitan will say this to him as if what? He's surrendering. So now what is he exposed to? Put his guard down. What is he exposed to if he falls for this? Yeah, that's right. I got you. Huh? He'll become self-amazed. You see the trap of the devil? He's trying to act like, you know, man, you got me. I can't do anything else. But in reality, he's trying to lure him to step into the trap of self-amazement. Be like, that's right. I got him. He gave up. I overcame the devil. Huh? Like this. This is what he's looking for. So he says, فَإِنْ سَكَنَ إِلَى هَذَا هَلَكَ بِالْعُجْبِ وَإِنْ سَلِمَ مِنَ الْمُسَالَمَةِ سَلِمْ. He says, so if he falls into this, and if he accepts this from him, then he'll be destroyed by self-amazement. This trick of the devil, this is a trick of the devil. He will be destroyed by self-amazement. But if he is safe from him pretending to surrender in this manner and to make a peace or a truce with him, then he will be safe from those tricks. This is just to show how far the devil will go. So the devil, he has footsteps and traps, and it's amazing how he would lead a person. How you lead a person, for example, the people who leave the prayer, they don't leave the prayer all of a sudden. They don't leave the prayer all of a sudden. It steps. Sometimes it starts with listening to music just one time, or watching a show on YouTube, or watching a movie. And then little by little, from here, he pulls you to the next little trap, the next little trap, and then until now, you don't pray. Like this. This is how the devil, even with the people of knowledge, he's going to go all the way, and he's even maybe helping him to realize some of his faults so he can get him into this plot here. Man, you know everything. I can't get nothing past you. You know all of my tricks. You know all of my traps, in order to get him to fall into self-amazement. So this is from those traps and those deceptions of the devil, that a person, he'll be self-amazed. This reminds me of the narration of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, whenever he's dying, and the people are telling him to say la ilaha illallah. He said no. And then he would go unconscious. And whenever he came back, they said, "What? We're telling you to say this, and you're saying no." He said, "The devil came to me, and he said that now you're safe. You're going to enter paradise." And you're safe from my traps, or you're safe from my trials. And he's saying, no, not until the end. I'm not going to fall for your suggestions. And he meaning that the devil, he's going to try to mislead the people any as much as he can in any manner. And he has great means of doing that. So the point is now that these affairs here, they are from the major sins of the heart, and they lead to major sins of the tongue, and major sins of the hand. And this arrogance and this pride and this self-amazement, it begins in the heart, and this is a major sin. This is a major sin. And it leads a person to transgress rights and to violate rights and the likes like this. So this issue here is about disobedience. And this is how the author, he begins the chapter. He says, مَعْسِيَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَائِقَةٌ عَنْ نَيْلِ الْعِلْمِ الشَّرْعِ. Erase those dots there on ta'ala. مَعْسِيَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَائِقَةٌ عَنْ نَيْلِ الْعِلْمِ الشَّرْعِ لِأَنَّهُ نُورُ اللَّهِ يَكْذِفُهُ فِي أَفْئِدَةِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَلَا يَجْتَمِعُ فِي قَلْبِ نُورٌ وَظُلْمَةٌ وَلِذَا قَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنِّي لَأَحْسِبُ رَجُلًا يَنْسَى الْعِلْمَ قَدْ عَلِمَهُ بِالذَّنْبِ يَعْمَلُهُ. He said, disobeying Allah the Most High is an obstacle in the way of obtaining legislative knowledge. Disobeying Allah in general is an obstacle in the way of obtaining legislative knowledge, because it is the light of Allah that He casts to the hearts of whom He wills from His slaves. And light and darkness cannot be gathered in the heart. For this reason, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, Indeed, I think a man will forget some knowledge that he learned because of a sin he committed, because of a sin he he committed. So this is the case with regards to disobedience in general. Al-ma'siyah. Al-ma'siyah liddu al-ta'ah. Disobedience is the opposite of obedience. So disobedience is to not obey. Is to not obey. Inshallah, we continue after salat hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.